it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belleville.
What the hell was that? Are you trying to kill us?
I got it. I know your damn words, all right?
I don't eat human flesh.
I'm badass. And you're good ass. You're a goody little two-shoes. You're a goody little two-shoes.
Oh, yeah. That, of course, is Bruce Campbell from Army of Darkness and The Evil Dead 1 and 2, among other movies. The B-movie superstar who goes by Groovy Bruce on Twitter.
Groovy.
That's right, Groovy Bruce on Twitter.
What the hell was that? Are you trying to kill us?
And the reason I bring up Bruce Campbell today is because of a great piece in the Oregonian today, my local newspaper. Bruce Campbell of Ash vs. Evil Dead, the new sequel coming out, applauds Oregon legal marijuana. He was recently in Beverly Hills, and he was promoting at the Television Critics Association Summer Press Tour. He was on stage with Lucy Lawless, his co-star. You remember her from Xena Warrior Princess. And his fellow Michigan native Sam Raimi, who was the director for the Evil Dead movies, he sat down and spoke to the media there. And while he was born in Michigan, Bruce Campbell currently makes his home in Oregon, saying, quote, "I miss it bad," end quote. And, quote, "We have a little place in Ashland," that's in southern Oregon, "and a place out in the boonies in the Applegate Valley," end quote. And then shortly he got around to discussing Oregon's marijuana legalization vote, saying, quote, "It's about fucking time. Oregon now treats you like an adult. If you can buy alcohol, you should be able to buy marijuana. I have not seen a recorded overdose yet of marijuana, yet college kids are dying by the dozens every single weekend with alcohol. So give me a break."
Groovy.
And he continued saying, quote, "So finally, Oregon got it together. And what's up with California? Come on, it should be leading the charge. Colorado did it before. What they did is they made it like beer. You can't have it in your car. You can't be an open container. You got to be 21. It has to have rules. And you have to tax the living crap out of it. The taxes the state is going to get from that are going to be ridiculous because it's not on the black market anymore. You got to buy it in a transaction. And here's my tax. It's like wine or beer or liquor. Hit it with a sin tax, and then it'll never go away," end quote. So great stuff from Bruce Campbell, man.
Keep talking, baby. Maybe you'll tell me something I don't already know.
Well, let me keep talking, Bruce, because in addition to these great quotes, keep an eye out for High Times magazine. He's got a cover shoot coming up for High Times magazine. He said he wanted to do it on his property, but the timing didn't work. So that's coming out very soon. And he says also that living in Southern Oregon, he's got a couple flybys. He said, quote, "My valley is where they train federal officers to identify GROW operations from the air because there are so many. Sheriff's helicopters hovered over my property and counted my plants, but my paperwork was in order. I wasn't about to dance around with that. The thing turned and went away and never came back, and I'm like, God bless America," end quote. Of course, he's referring to the fact that Bruce Campbell has been an Oregon medical marijuana patient for the past few years. He doesn't grow it on his property anymore, but he had been a card-holding and medical marijuana-growing patient at his Southern Oregon property. He says, quote, "You've got to jump through hoops to get medical marijuana approval. Thankfully, I've been injured in movies so many times, I have a long litany of things I can say I need it for. It's medicinal 100%. It's actually the only medicine in my cabinet. I'm 57, and I take no prescription medications whatsoever," end quote. He also adds, "You don't think about the pain. The pain goes away because you're thinking about other stuff. My brain gets engaged. I don't want the zombie weed. I'm a functional stoner. I have stuff to do. And I don't do it when I work. I don't drink when I work. I don't smoke when I work. I work very level-headed. On a TV show like this, it's the only way to get through." Speaking of Ash and the Evil Dead. But he says when he's off the clock, quote, "That's my time. People have this image of stoners being non-productive. I directed this movie a couple years ago called My Name is Bruce. I shot it on my property. I was stumped for a while over how to shoot a complicated sequence. I thought, there's got to be a better way. Sitting on my back deck, I rolled one up and smoked it up, and I got the answer. I'm going to do it in one shot. I don't know if I would have thought of that if I hadn't been stoned," end quote. He also says marijuana is still misunderstood, saying, quote, "You know, we hear about guys smoking weed and getting in bar fights. The worst that might happen when you smoke weed is you wake up in the morning and your Oreos are gone. And your lungs hurt a little bit."
Bartender, Dos Martinez, por favor.
So he says also, quote, "Marijuana is not for everybody. I've had the drug talk with my two kids. I told them stay away from pharmaceuticals. You talk about E or this or that, and you don't know where that comes from or what it's been cut with. If you see something God put on this planet, that's what you choose," end quote. He also has a new granddaughter. So he's now a grandpa Ash. And he's very enthusiastic about the reception for the trailer of Ash versus Evil Dead. It'll be on Stars, and it premieres, of course, Halloween night, October 31st.
"Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President."
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. Radical Russ has been prepping for this debate full-time since 2005. The Russ Belville Show.
This is Robert Platchorn, and you're listening to 420 Radio with Radical Russ Belville.
The Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference is happening September 12th and 13th at the Hilton in downtown Portland. Hi, I'm Alex Rogers, and I hope you'll take advantage of this amazing opportunity to learn the latest business and legal information concerning cannabis commerce in Oregon in 2015 and beyond. Check out OMMBC.com right now for early bird pricing, because we're likely to sell out. That's OMMBC.com, the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference.
Marijuana may be legal in some states, but it is still very difficult to advertise. Legal marijuana states have strict guidelines about where marijuana ads may be placed. 420 Radio provides advertisers a marijuana-related on-demand platform skewed toward older adults that meets Colorado and other legal states' advertising restrictions. Visit 420radio.org/advertise to learn how you can place web ads that are immune to ad block software and audio ads heard live on 420 Radio and stored permanently in the enormously popular Russ Belville Show podcast. 420 Radio is heard by legions of dedicated fans who make up the activist leadership and entrepreneurial base of serious marijuana law reformers. Our audience is older, better educated, and more financially secure than most marijuana-related media can boast. Learn more at 420radio.org/advertise.
Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum. Elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Welcome back, everybody. Fatoumata Diawara there with Bissa. That's some of the world music that we play on Gordon Green's Music Planet every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Pacific time here on 420 Radio. And stay tuned at 420, just 8 minutes away, we've got our daily Toker Tunes break for Irie Wednesday, and you'll get to hear another great world music tune. This one's called Generations Will Rise by Natalie Rise, so stay tuned for that. Coming up in our next break. Want to shift gears a little bit and talk about synthetic marijuana, or more properly, synthetic cannabinoids. U.S. News and World Report is reporting that the use of synthetic pot is on the rise and it poses a serious threat to the public health. It's got many names: K2, Spice, Green Giant, Geeked Up, AK-47, and of course just fake pot or fake weed. Those of you who don't know what it is, it's basically dried plants. It can be oregano, basil, whatever. But what's important is what's sprayed onto it, which is synthetic cannabinoids that were designed for research purposes to be serious, intense agonists of our endocannabinoid system. That is, think THC, but turbocharged and on steroids, okay? So these synthetic cannabinoids were never made for any sort of continued human consumption. They were made for the lab. But thanks to the prohibition of marijuana and the continued testing for THC for jobs and scholarships and so forth, many people are using this synthetic pot. And the problem with it, synthetic cannabinoids, the problem with it is that from batch to batch and even bag to bag, the amount that could be sprayed on the herbs is unknown, and the particular synthetic cannabinoid that may be sprayed on it is completely unknown. So you are going to get a different reaction every time you use this, even if you're careful to use consistent dosages. The advantage to these drugs is that they're legal. When they schedule a drug to put it on the Controlled Substances Act, you have to schedule what its molecular constituency is, how it's made up of various elements, right? What kind of molecule is it? You got to describe the molecule in order to ban it. So these very intelligent chemists are able to design a synthetic THC, and the minute that particular configuration of the molecule is made illegal, all they have to do is switch a bond here or there, and they've got a completely different molecule that basically does the same thing, but isn't illegal. The other advantage of these synthetic cannabinoids is the metabolites they produce are not the same metabolites that are detected on the initial screens the initial drug screens. So many people in the military or who face drug testing for their job are turning to these synthetic cannabinoids for a pot-like high that doesn't cost them their career. Now, as I read this U.S. News and World Report feature on it, it has a paragraph, controlling the explosion of synthetic marijuana abuse will need to take both supply-side and demand-side interventions. On supply side, DEA has designated a growing number of the chemicals found in synthetic marijuana as Schedule 1. And on the demand side, we're seeing the use of synthetic marijuana among individuals and groups who are vulnerable, those with drug use disorders, mental illnesses, and those in group homes and shelters. Poverty fosters the use of these drugs because they're cheaper than marijuana and alcohol, and so forth. But it seems to me the simplest and most direct way of addressing this epidemic of fake pot is to legalize the real thing. And to end the drug testing for the real thing. This is just one of many situations where we find the criminalization of marijuana is more harmful than the marijuana itself. Nobody wanted to drink moonshine. Well, fewer people wanted to drink moonshine after Prohibition ended because they could get legal alcohol at the store that was guaranteed to be the same regulated purity and guaranteed not to cause blindness or kill them. Also, here in Oregon, other than the people that need to pass drug tests, nobody who likes to smoke pot is using fake pot, except to pass drug tests. So even under legalization, there is still an incentive for people to want to use this K2, this spice, whatever this crap is called, herbal incense, not for human consumption, as the packages will say. But drug warriors can't get their mind around this idea. They just can't get their mind around the idea that adults, some of us, like to get high and always will. And at least if you give us the safer choice, we'll make it. But no, to the drug warriors, the rise of synthetic marijuana is just yet another way to push harmful, punitive policies. This comes from Vice News, where they report on the case of Kenneth Dale Wakefield, who's a mentally ill man in Phoenix, who used some synthetic marijuana, and he went on a killing spree. He decapitated his wife and their two dogs. Wakefield police said he was trying to get the evil out of his victim. He also severed his own arm and gouged out one of his eyes while on this drug. And they point to other rampages, a man in a stabbing spree in Washington, D.C., was thought to be on spice, two Michigan men who attacked family with baseball bats in April, a grisly domestic violence case in Houston in July where a man stabbed, beat, and fatally choked his girlfriend. So you'd think, all right, this drug is terrible. How about we legalize the one that doesn't cause this problem? And yet, New York City Police Commissioner Bill Bratton held a press conference on Monday where he warned the public about synthetic marijuana, which he called, I shit you not, he called it weaponized marijuana. Weaponized marijuana. Yeah. Talk about your framing. Weaponized marijuana. He says it gives users superhuman strength and immunity to pain. He showed videos of users high on synthetic marijuana at a news conference showing one man naked on all fours in the middle of the road, slapping the ground and yelling, and another naked man breaking through a fence with his body. Quote, these individuals, many of them under the influence of this drug, are totally crazy, end quote, Bratton said. Bratton, this is the same dangerous drug speech we get about every new drug, how it's going to turn people into crazed killers. And while some of these cases may absolutely be true, it's not the case of most people that are using Spice or K2. And most of the people that use Spice or K2 would not use it if they had access to legal marijuana. That, so far as I'm aware, has never made anyone decapitate their dogs, their wife, chop off their arm, and gouge out their eye. It's time to recognize that all the problems that this country faces with synthetic marijuana is because we prohibit the natural, real, less harmful one.
Oh, I could have smoked that pot.
Yeah, Homer, but they would have given you a drug test at the nuclear plant. Mr. Burns wouldn't have liked that. Hey, folks, it's 420. That means we have our union-mandated safety meeting to get to, but when we come back, we got our Irie Wednesday Daily Toker Tunes. Gordon Green's brought us some music from Natalie Rise. Stay tuned for that and more talk about the world of marijuana when we return.
This is Joy Beckerman-Maher, and you're listening to 420radio.org.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone, and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, and other world music genres. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
Gordon Green's unable to call in today, but he left us an upload for today's Daily Toker Tunes. We're going to give you some great world music from Natalie Rise with Generations Will Rise.
You won't see us on your TV. You won't read us in the news feed. But the time it comes, change keeps beating like a drum. Cause the people have the power. They keep waking by the hour. And they use them teeth till they're breaking free from your messed up slavery.
We are
just a drop in the ocean of revolution. Every ripple felt by the younger generation. Just rise and take your stand where you belong, cause it's awakening, replacing the false religion. Truth has spread like wildfire in the streets. Anything less than equal rights get deleted, cause all your consciousness we are seek. Open up your heart and let that inner voice speak.
In the midst of these crazy times, we're gonna find our place. If we open up our hearts and let love lead the way
to the world that we wanna see. We don't have no place for them capitalism and them economy. It's up to we, so open up your heart and let love lead the way again.
Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
You're listening to 420 Radio. Listen Sundays at noon Pacific for Pot TV, podcasting from pot.tv. Pot TV is Canada's network for cannabis-related programming, including The Redbeard Show, The Marijuana Zone, The Weed Guy, Urban Grower, and more. Check our online listings for Pot TV with Mark Emery's Cannabis Culture from pot.tv.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
Welcome back, everybody. That's music from 10 Foot Ganja Plant with Got to Be a Soldier. Earlier, we talked about the case of Zachary Hammond, 19-year-old white man who was shot and killed by a cop who was aiming his gun at the suspect, at Hammond. who was in the car with a woman who was trying to make a weed buy in a parking lot of a Hardee's, of all places. And the undercover was backed by a uniformed officer who came to the window of the car, and the details are sketchy, but according to the autopsy, shot the driver from the side and from behind, even though the cop said that he had shot the guy from the front as he was going to be run over by the car. So we're finding that cop was lying. Well, the other cop story we have where a young man was shot and the cop was lying was the case of Sam DuBose. He's in Cincinnati and was shot by University of Cincinnati officer Ray Tenzing. Tenzing pulled DuBose over because he was missing a front license plate. Tenzing drew his gun and shot DuBose in the head after reaching into the 43-year-old's vehicle and yelling, "Stop." Tenzing told officers at the scene he had been dragged by DuBose's vehicle before he opened fire, but Tenzing's body cam video told a different story, leading the Hamilton County prosecutor, Joe Dieters, to call Tenzing a killer. Quote, "I think Tenzing lost his temper because Mr. DuBose would not get out of his car. When you see the video, you will not believe how quickly he pulled his gun and shot him in the head." End quote. Now, according to a search warrant affidavit, turns out that Sam DuBose, the man who was shot and killed, had four bags and one jar of marijuana in his car when he was shot and killed. Now, this adds to the story. Now, the usual suspects will try to spin this as, I must have been high, or, see, drugs, the druggies are up to no good, right? But I see it a different way. I see this as a guy who gets pulled over by cops, and because he's got weed in his car, he's nervous as hell. Because he's got weed in his car, bags and bags of it, four bags in one jar. Now, I don't know how much he had, but in Ohio, he'd have to have at least 3.5 ounces before it becomes a crime. And we don't know how much he had. They just say four bags and one jar. I haven't seen a weight on this. Two bags of marijuana in the center console, two bags of marijuana under the front passenger seat, and a jar with marijuana on the floor behind the driver's seat. The documents do not specify how much marijuana was in the bags and jar, but if it was misdemeanor amount or perhaps even felony amount, and when we're talking about the state of Ohio, like we said, decrim in Ohio up to 100 grams, I think over 200 is where you get into felony territory, but I'm looking it up on Normal's website right now. By the way, folks, you want to find a marijuana law, go to normal.org/laws/your2-letter state code. So just now, I just typed in normal.org/laws/OH, and that gets me to the Ohio laws. And I was right. Over 200 grams, over 7 ounces, is a felony in the state of Ohio. So that, to me, adds to the situation where DuBose, Sam DuBose, may not have had the same interaction with a police officer that he might have had if the marijuana wasn't in his car. He may have exhibited more nervousness, or may have moved quickly, or may have even tried to get away, knowing that the felony amount of marijuana would cost him dearly. I guess what I'm saying here is that we would probably not have the same reaction if the guy had just gone to the grocery store and bought two cases of beer, now, would we? And it's just another example to me of how the criminality of marijuana creates more violence and more difficulty in people's lives. It's that illegality that leads to these problems. It's the illegality of marijuana that may have led Sam DuBose to acting in a manner that got him killed. Now, not trying to blame the victim here, and based on the prosecutor's description of the crime and the body cam video that I've seen, the cop was way out of line regardless. But would that cop have gotten so belligerent had there not been, even unconsciously on Sam DuBose's part, nervousness about the marijuana in the car? It creates an incentive. The marijuana prohibition creates an incentive for someone to want to flee the cops. It creates a crime where no crime exists. And this is how marijuana prohibition can be so harmful to all of us, even if we don't smoke pot. Suppose that he doesn't get shot in this video. Suppose Sam DuBose makes a run for it, drives away, and a police chase ensues. You'd be shocked at the data on police chases and how often they harm innocent civilians in the course of those chases. But the guy wouldn't run if it weren't for the marijuana. Now, there's nothing we can do to prevent criminals from trying to get away. It's always going to exist, but at least when it's a rapist trying to get away, or a murderer trying to get away, or an arsonist trying to get away, or a thief trying to get away, there's at least a social trade-off where you can say, okay, that might add some danger to the world by chasing after him, but it'll take some danger out of the world if we catch him. I don't think anyone here can justify taking any amount of marijuana off the streets as being worth someone's life. Because, as we all know, it doesn't matter how much marijuana you take off the streets, it's always replaced. We've been interdicting semi-truck loads and boat loads and submarine loads of drugs for decades in this country, and yet the drugs are still here, plentiful for anyone who wants to access them. It's time that we legalize marijuana to end the creation of criminality where criminality would not otherwise exist, to end these encounters with police that escalate when they don't need to. And the more we see of these cases, the more we're calling for body cams, the more we're hoping for body cams. But as Speed Limit in her chat room says, it will take 10 years for the cops to figure out how to properly use their body cams. It'll take them a while before they realize that there's special ways of turning your body so as things can't be seen. There's ways of muffling the microphone so they can't be heard. It's going to happen. But at least with dash cams and body cams and with us recording and videoing and sharing these clips, we've got a little closer to a solution. But we can't, this is just addressing the symptoms. This is just addressing the symptom of the police brutality and the over-policing in this country. We've got to get to the root causes. And the root cause has a lot to do with the war on drugs. It's the war on drugs that created the decimated inner cities, that destroyed minority families, that created highly functioning, well-armed, well-financed criminal organizations. The war on drugs, without it, I mean, you've seen the rates of violent crime in this country plummet since the 1990s. I think a large degree of what violent crime remains owes a lot to the war on drugs. It could be that the war on drugs has to continue in order for these police departments to continue being funded and budgeted and staffed at the levels they're at. We may be developing into such a safer society that most of the prisons and police that we need would be gone absent the war on drugs, and they know that. So we need to keep battling this and to understand that we're getting more and more allies, more and more people are recognizing the problem with mass incarceration. But we've got to be vigilant because many of those people just want to work around the edges of the drug war. Many of those people want to move to that third way of rehab and treatment for marijuana and other drugs, ignoring the fact that the majority of people who use any drug do not have a problem with it, do not become addicted to it. Even you talk to the National Institute of Drug Abuse and they will say 32% of the people who try heroin become addicted to it. Well, doesn't that mean 68% of the people who try heroin don't become addicted to it? And the numbers are greater the softer drugs you start to look at. When it gets down to marijuana, it's 9% that supposedly have a dependence on it. Doesn't that mean 91% of us, 10 out of 11 of us, are using it with no observable problems whatsoever? So we have to recognize that drug use isn't a sin. Drug use isn't a public health issue insofar as the people who are using it responsibly and moderately, and that any harms that we can detect from the responsible, moderate use of drugs are far, far greater harms trying to ban the responsible, moderate use of drugs. And we find that it's destroying our society, and we find that it's killing our citizens, and it's militarizing our cops, and it's shredding our civil liberties. And it's bankrupting many of our institutions. It's corrupting them. We've got law enforcement that's corrupted through the easy money of asset forfeiture and the easy arrests for marijuana. Marijuana becomes the key that unlocks our Fourth and Fifth Amendment protections. The simple act of saying you smell weed, the simple act of making your canine alert at the back of a car door is all a cop needs now to further violate our rights. It's time we put an end to it and never, never back down or be ashamed of fighting for the end of prohibition, because the end of prohibition signals the beginning of true American freedom and a revitalization of our economy and a restoration of our civil rights and a boost for our economy. There's nothing to be ashamed out here, folks.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
This is Matt Abel, and you're listening to 420radio.org, live from Hempfest.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
NARMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
Welcome back. That's music from Echo Movement with Daydreamer.
Daydreamer. All I do is drift away. I'm just a daydreamer. You look at me as if to say, I'm just a daydreamer.
All right. So, final segment here. Some more details on the Sam DuBose case. Had a question from Speed Limit in the chat room. Wanted to know, did the cop say that he smelled weed in the car? Was that part of the story? Well, no, but there is something about this. Reading some of the rest of the defense attorney's statements to the media, he points out that the cops found two bags of marijuana in the center console, two bags under the front passenger seat, and a jar of marijuana on the floor behind the driver's seat. There was no weapons in the police search inventory, and the attorney representing Tenzing said the marijuana may have been the reason DuBose started his car's ignition moments before he was shot. quote, he wasn't worried about the front missing license plate. He was worried about the potential felony charges for having drugs in the car, end quote, which is exactly what I had pointed out. So apparently there was more than 200 grams in the car. Now, apparently also Matthews, the attorney, says that a gin bottle filled with air freshener was handed from DuBose to Tenzing shortly before the shooting. And that's typically used to throw drug dogs off the scent of marijuana. So that's some extra detail that we've got in the case now, that the air freshener gin bottle was handed to the cop and the car ignition was started before this guy got shot. But we also have some other information on this officer, Ray Tenzing. This is the news story that's popping up on WCPO, Ohio. And the headline is, after being beaten in 2010 fight, Ray Tenzing seemed like, quote, a ticking time bomb, end quote, attorney says. This had been a fight. Now, Tenzing, the cop, shortly after he graduated from the police academy, got in a fight after a party. Some guy said derogatory comments about somebody's girlfriend. He jumped out of the pickup truck, Tenzing did, and got into a fight. Tenzing was beaten up, suffered serious injuries, and called 911. Now, the case was investigated by Cincinnati police, but this officer, Tenzing, also investigated the case on his own, using fake identities and trying to catfish people using Facebook and text messaging. A criminal defense attorney who was involved in the case, Lisa Rabinus, said, quote, it appears he wasn't happy with the investigation that the Cincinnati police were doing, didn't believe that they were aggressive enough or doing enough. And in one of the text messages that Tenzing had sent, he said, quote, he wishing he had his gun at the scene, and that if he had his gun, someone would have been leaving in a body bag. And in another text, he said he met with his another witness before court to go over their stories. Now, in the trial, Tenzing was the only witness. The case was dismissed because of his separate investigation. During that time, he was also applying for law enforcement jobs. And Rabinus, this attorney, said, quote, he was definitely full of attitude and just overboard, even for a victim. And she told the head of the Hamilton County Sheriff's Officers Explorer Program, quote, he shouldn't recommend Mr. Tenzing for any type of police employment because he's a ticking time bomb, end quote. And of course, they hired him. He landed a job with the Green Hills Police Department, and he got his new job in 2014 with the University of Cincinnati Police Department. In the 2 months before he fatally shot DuBose, Tenzing used force 4 times, including drawing his gun 2 times during traffic stops. After Tenzing killed DuBose, Rabinus said she just kind of shook her head, quote, it's like what I had feared. My impression of him in fearing that he shouldn't be a police officer back then and hoping that he wasn't hired has come to fruition. So, cop who barely has graduated gets his ass whooped in a fight, says that had he had his gun, somebody had been killed. Had one of the attorneys recommend against his hire as a police officer because of this aberrant behavior. So, of course, he's hired, and now someone is dead. You know, it gets more and more each day where you think, maybe we ought to do like the British and have just bobbies, right? And all I got is a billy club. No tasers, no guns. I know nobody in America would ever go for that, but it's just so frustrating. I saw a loop today that was on Facebook of GIFs, right? People had put these GIFs together of famous police brutality videos. And there was like 11 or 12 of them, right? And you've got to think that, okay, these are the 11 or 12 that actually got caught on camera because someone driving by stopped and filmed it, or they got it off of the internal camera in the jail. And maybe the cops didn't think about being on camera, but you got to think, for every one of these, how many more are out there? How many more examples of this police brutality are out there? And there's people out there that say, well, you know, if you hadn't started the car, if you just do everything the cop says, and you wouldn't be dead, right? Yeah, sure, but isn't the cop supposed to be the professional in that situation? Isn't the cop supposed to be the one de-escalating these situations? And if it's a situation where you've got someone pulled over and they're attempting to drive away, why not let them? I know some people are like, what? Just let the bad guys get away. But it seems like every time in these situations where someone tries to get away, the next story we hear is the cop trying to reach in the car and being dragged along and being forced to shoot somebody because they're being dragged along. Which, as we found in the case of Hammond, Zachary Hammond, was a lie. And in many of these cases is probably a lie. But it says to me that maybe we ought not have the cops try to reach into moving cars anymore to shut them down. Unless the person pulled over is suspected of being an imminent threat to the public, why should we be risking a cop's life or the passenger's life when the cop has to shoot him being dragged along? We've got to really start putting the brakes on what situations allow for the use of justifiable force by a cop. We really got to start limiting that. Like if somebody's pulled over for speeding or a front license plate being out, and then they hand over an air freshener bottle, which you suspect means that they've got pot on them, and then they try to get away. Well, my God, what's the worst thing that's going to happen if they get away? They'll be driving down the road without a front license plate and, oh my God, with weed. Where's the harm to the rest of the public in that? Let the guy drive off, get on your radio, put out the number for his license plate and his description, and soon enough there'll be more cop cars following the guy. If he tries to get away in a high-speed chase, have the helicopter follow him. We'll know where he's at, and eventually get the cop cars to where he stops or where he ends up. But this Michael Bay, J.J. Abrams gunfight, car chase first attitude by the cops has got to stop. It's definitely got to stop. And we've also got to do something about our hiring practices for police officers. I may have mentioned to you in a previous show about how an officer in Connecticut once had to sue because he scored too high on their intelligence test. There was this intelligence test they gave to the incoming police officers, and he scored something like a 36 on it. But they would only hire people who came in the 20 to 29 range. And the reason they gave is because you hire someone that's too smart, they get bored by police work, they quit, and then we got to spend all that money trying to train new cops. Now, I don't recall ever seeing any justification or data or evidence to back up that assertion. But even if that's true, are we saying it's better to save some bucks by hiring stupid cops than to have smart cops on the beat who might know better to de-escalate situations and react with some calm and cool? That's just unbelievable. And the Connecticut cop lost his lawsuit, lost it at the Supreme Court. They said, no, it's not discriminatory hiring practices because it applies to everybody. It applied equally to everyone. There was no discrimination. And being intelligent isn't a protected class. They had every right to discriminate against smart people. And that just blows my mind. But, you know, I don't buy the justification that smart people leave police work and then it costs more to train. Number one, even if that's true, then increase the budgets for the police departments. I'd rather spend more money on smart cops. Wouldn't that... Police work, it seems to me, to be a place where you shouldn't skimp. This seems to me, if you're going to give people guns and the right to infringe on people's constitutional liberty, maybe, just maybe, we ought to have the smarter people doing that. Maybe we shouldn't leave that up to the 20s on the test. We're talking about 90 IQs. And recently there was another police department that balked at that number and wanted to hire people as low as 60 IQs for their police work. And I'm telling you why, folks. It's not because they worry about the cost of retraining. It's because they like obedient stormtroopers. That's what it's all about. They'll say it in their justification sometimes, that we can't have officers questioning the superior experience and better police knowledge of their superiors when they give orders. That's what they say about soldiers, isn't it? That's what they say about soldiers in the army. Don't question your orders. Follow the orders of your superiors. But when it comes to domestic police work, should that really be the way it goes down? And these supposedly wiser, experienced superiors, from what ranks do they come from? Because I'm imagining that the cops who end up being the sergeants and the lieutenants and the commissioners come up from the ranks, don't they? And if that's, they don't have ROTC for cops, do they? Maybe they do. I'm not so sure. But don't they come up from the ranks of the existing beat cops? And if that's the case, and we're only hiring beat cops that are below the 29 score, that are in the moderate intelligence range, doesn't that mean that's what the superiors are as well? Doesn't this just guarantee that the leadership of these cops is going to be as dull-witted as the people they hire? Man, there's got to be some serious changes into how we think about policing in this country. And one of the first things we need to do is to turn it into an intelligent profession. We need to weed out the bullies, the high school jocks, the guys who got their ass kicked in a fight, who have a chip on their shoulder, the racists, the misogynists in these forces, and replace them with smarter people. I'm pretty sure that when you do the studies on this, that the more intelligent you find a person, the less likely they are to be a racist, homophobic, misogynist bully. I don't have that data right in front of me, but I'm willing to take a guess on it. Let's get some smart cops on the beat. Let's get some cops who understand that it's all about making relationships in the community and understanding the cultures you're dealing with and de-escalating the situations and being the professional who protects and serves and looks for the safety of all the people, even the criminals he's trying to apprehend, deserve that measure of safety. Well, folks, that's all the time we got for today. Time flies when you legalize, but stay tuned. We've got the Activism Hour coming up next, and then the replays of Hour 1 and 2 coming up at 6 o'clock. Then at 8 o'clock, Gordon Green's Music Planet, bringing you an hour of great world music. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. And in just 2 weeks, actually less than 10 days away, we'll be at Seattle Hemp Fest. I'll be speaking Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Hemp Fest. We'll bring you the recordings of that and many other speeches when we get back the following week. So next Friday, we'll have the day off while we go up to Hemp Fest. That's all the time we got. Like I said, I'm Radical Russ from Legal Potland, Oregon. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.